Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, just 1 month ago now, on August 14th, the Harvard Gazette, the newspaper for Harvard University, published an article called Soothing Advice for Mad America. It was an interview with Dr. David H. Rosmarin, the assistant professor of psychology at the Harvard Medical School's Department of Psychiatry. He's also a clinician at the McLean Hospital, and he runs the hospital's spirituality and mental health programs. Well, in the article, he talked about the pandemic-fueled anger that is sweeping across our country. We've all seen it, and we've all felt it. Over these last 6 months, we've seen anger about masks. There's been anger from parents and teachers about what school life looks like now. There's anger from students about not being able to learn as they once did. There's anger in marriages when sheltering in place together brings out the ugly side of relationships. There's been anger about shutdowns, anger about racism, anger about not being able to work from home anymore, or anger about not being able to work at all anymore, and on, so many things people have been angry about. Well, in talking about anger, Dr. Rosmarin said that we have four primary emotions: fear, anger, joy, and sadness. If you've seen the Disney Pixar movie Inside Out, these are four of the main characters. The other one is disgust. But Dr. Rosmarin said that even though anger is classified as one of the primary emotions, it usually responds second. In other words, anger is a response to one of the other emotions, not to the situation at hand. Think, for example, about why someone may blow up about dirty socks left on the floor. It's not really about the socks. Something more is going on inside of them. Dr. Rosmarin said, quote, "Take the mask example. The real core of telling another person to put on a mask is fear. I don't want to die, or for someone I know who is high risk to die. I want the coronavirus to go away. I don't want my stress level to be so high. I want this virus to be contained. I want this nightmare to be over." There's fear. There's sadness. But we skip over that. I'm feeling sad or anxious, but instead of dealing with those emotions, we draw a gun, or yell at someone, or at least make fun of them. Everyone gets angry from time to time, and especially now. Because if we have learned anything at all during this pandemic, it's that we are not in control. And anger helps us mask our insecurities and vulnerabilities. If I'm angry, then I'm not showing you how scared or sad I really am. And by association, how weak I am. Anger makes me think I'm strong, even when I'm not. Today's gospel reading is about anger. Yes, I know it's about forgiveness, and we'll get there. But first, we need to focus on anger. Anger is much easier for us to relate to than forgiveness. Yes, we know that we should forgive others, but deep inside, part of us thinks that forgiveness just feels wrong. It feels like we're letting the other person off the hook. It feels like we're saying that what they did was okay. It feels like we have to, quote, forgive and forget and pretend that the event never happened. Well, first of all, that's not what forgiveness means at all. And second, forgiveness doesn't really make sense until we think of anger first. So let's back up. Last week, we heard Jesus' call to have healthy relationships. He talked about how conflict is possible whenever two or three people get together. And conflict comes from anger. But Jesus also reminded us of his presence with us in those times. He talked about how members of the church sin against one another, and that it's not just about what happens within the walls of a church building. It's about all of our relationships. And so then, after listening closely to Jesus, Peter asks, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Seven is a lot, right? You give the person a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance, a seventh chance. But eventually you have to say enough is enough, and they've run out of chances, right? Well, Jesus then says, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. Or some translations say 70 times seven times. But whether the number is 77 or 490, it's not really about a number at all. All right, remember, in the Bible, the number seven was symbolic of perfection and completeness, like 7 days of creation, or the seven last words of Jesus on the cross, or the seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer. So when Jesus says 77 times, or 70 times seven times, it's like he's saying perfection squared. Or if you want it as a number, it's a bajillion, or a gazillion. It can't be counted or measured. Forgiveness is not about keeping score or maintaining a record of second chances. It's not like a video game where the player has only so many lives to get it right. And then when they run out, it's game over. No, forgiveness means giving them unlimited and never-ending lives. Well, Peter probably didn't like that. And neither do we. Why? Well, because when we hear of the unlimitedness of forgiveness, we become afraid. Like, I'm afraid I can't forgive people over and over again. I'm afraid that forgiveness means I'm allowing the other person to take advantage of me again. I'm afraid that forgiveness won't make them change their ways. Well, and as Yoda said, fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. So let's get one thing straight here. Forgiveness does not mean that you're pretending the offense never happened. It does not mean that you are allowing them to hurt you again. It does not mean that they don't have to deal with the effects of what they did. Someone can be forgiven and still go to jail, for example. Forgiveness simply means that you were promising not to hold that offense against them and let it change your relationship together. You still remember what they did. And you could bring it up any time and throw it back in their face. But you are promising that you won't do that. the relationship is much too important for you to do that. And quite often we deal with anger and forgiveness when it comes to interpersonal relationships, be they in the church or in the rest of life. But today it seems like we're dealing with them on a bigger scale. That's because we're angry at the pandemic and at politicians and at God. We feel violated and hurt. It seems like something or someone has done something wrong to us, or else our lives wouldn't be this way right now. And so, in our anger, we want the offender to make it up to us. We don't feel like forgiving. We want another stimulus check. We want life to go back to normal. We want a vaccine, something like that. In other words, we are very much like the first servant in today's parable. We know that we've sinned against God, and God has every right to be angry at us. Yet God has chosen to forgive us. God does not hold our sin against us. In fact, God does what we cannot do and actually forgets our sin. God is the only one who can truly forgive and forget. We cannot. In fact, we begin every time of our worship together by hearing the declaration of God's forgiveness. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. God will not allow our sin to cloud our relationship with God. As the psalm today says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Even so, we still often refuse to show that same forgiveness to others. We know we should, but it's hard, because we're afraid of not being in control. So we choose anger instead. We grab the other servant by the neck and demand that he pay us back. We want to be in charge, and we want the world to play by our rules. We want some kind of compensation for what has happened to us. But if that's how it works, then that means God would play by our rules too. Consider the scene at the end of the parable, when the forgiven first servant does not forgive the second one. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. If we want anger to rule the world, then that means we want God to be angry at us too. But of course, none of us really want that. None of us want to be, as Jonathan Edwards famously said in 1741, sinners in the hands of an angry God. So that's where the good news comes in. The good news is that this is God's world, not ours. God is in charge. We are not. In God's world, forgiveness is key, not anger. In God's world, people are given unlimited second chances. In God's world, new life always happens, and death itself dies. Yet it makes us feel afraid when we're not in charge. So we get angry. But truthfully, God does a much better job being in charge than we ever will. So we could lash out in anger right now towards everyone and everything that isn't doing what we want. Or we could forgive as we have been forgiven. We can choose to maintain healthy relationships. We can forgive the student who isn't doing well in school because this school year is just so weird right now. We can forgive the teachers and parents who aren't doing things perfectly because they are human too. We can forgive the politicians whose choices aren't what we would make because we're not in their shoes. We can also forgive ourselves for not having it all together because we don't have to have it all together. Forgiveness is hard. But thankfully, God is overflowing with forgiveness for us. God does the hard thing of forgiving us so that we can then share that forgiveness with others. In God's world, that's how healthy relationships are maintained. Forgiveness means I will do anything to have a good relationship with you. So we may be living in mad America right now, as the Harvard Gazette put it. But thankfully, we are also still living in God's world. And this is a world of unlimited second chances, unlimited love, and unlimited new life. Because God will never give up on us. That's good news for families, for the church, for America, and for the world. So anger may turn us inside out, but forgiveness turns the world right side up. Thanks be to God. In the name of the one who brings forgiveness and new life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.